Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned into Home, Helen Arnn's Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we are going to rejoice and be glad in it. I have the scripture say, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Oh, we come today to exalt the name of Jesus on today, and I'm so excited that you have joined me on today. This is going to be another glorious time that we come together and just to lift up the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to share with you another glorious lesson that God has given unto me to share with you on today. I tell you, this is just going to be just an awesome time. So I want you to grab your Bible and come right on in and just make yourself right at home as we move forward in the things of the Lord for today. And I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we're going to get right into our lesson, and I'll share with you the lesson text that we'll be looking at on today, and we're just going to move right forward. So let us pray. Gracious Father, we take this time to bind the forces of darkness, and we bind devil in the name of the Lord Jesus, Satan. We bind you in Jesus' name. And Father, we ask, dear God, that this airway will be open to receive everything that you have. We take the key to the house of David according to Isaiah 22:22 and open right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, every window, every portal, every door, every ear, every heart to receive that which you have for your people today. And Father, let our tongue be as a pen of a ready writer to speak that which you have for your people on today. And Father, we thank you because you are the righteous Savior and the one in which we adore. We give you the praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. On today, we're going to be talking about one of my favorite subjects, and that is communicating with God. One of our greatest privileges that we as the children of God, that God has given unto man, is the opportunity to communicate with him. And that's one of the greatest privileges that God has given unto man, the ability to communicate with him. Now let's take a look at our scripture and text that which we'll be talking about on today. The first one we're going to look at is over in Psalms 143, verses 1 through verse number 12. And so I'll repeat that again in your hearing. That's going to be Psalms 143, verse number 1 to verse number 12, 1 through 12. Psalms 143. And so let us read that all together in our hearing. It said, hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplication. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness, and enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy that persecuted my soul, he has smitten my life down to the ground. He has made me to dwell in darkness as though that had been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the day of old. I meditated on all the works of thine hand. I moved on the work of thy hands. I stretched forth my hands unto thee, and my soul thirsted after thee as a thirsty land, Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I walk and should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God, and thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteous sake. Bring my soul out of trouble, and all of thy mercy cut off my enemies and destroy all men that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Let's look at Psalms 143 and verse 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplication. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. So let's take a look at our scripture on today. And again, I want us to remember what we are talking in relationship about this lesson on today, communication with God. Now, this psalm is a part of a group of prayers that David directed to God near the end of his reign. Beginning with thanksgiving and praise, they followed the same plan that Jesus gave to the disciple when they asked him to teach them to pray. Now, another psalm, Psalms 139, is focused on the four great attributes of God. It focused on his omniscience, his omnipresence, his omnipotence, and his holiness. Now, Psalms 140 and 1-144 follow and depict the author's prayer for deliverance from enemies and from spiritual despair. The book of Psalms then ends with the six psalms of prayers and great faith in God. Now, of the five psalms of deliverance, Psalms 143 offers the most striking contrast of the cry of despair and the expression of assurance in God. Here, the psalmist was in great trouble from an outward disaster that caused inward dejection and depression. It mirrors the human condition that many of us face in life. Christians love God and believe God's deliverance, but sometimes they still feel alone and helpless. Now, the Septuagint assigned this psalm to be David, which he had written in the latter days of his life while fleeing from his son Absalom, 2 Samuel chapter 15, verses 30. It said, and David went up by the ancient of the Mount Olive and wept as he went up and had his head covered. And he went and barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up. Now, Psalms 143 is a desperate prayer for deliverance and guidance, appealing to the faithfulness and the righteousness of Jehovah. Even though he could not feel God, David still believed that God was a covenant-keeping God and that he would deliver him. Although he was desperate, his unshakable faith in God appeared throughout the text of his prayer. In thee do I trust, verse number 8. I lift up my soul unto thee, verse 8. I flee to thee to hide me, verse 9. I am thy servant, verse 12. David found that God listened to his plea even when he was at his lowest point in his life and betrayal by his own son. And so I want to say here, if I can, just want to interject, that no matter where you find yourself at, whether it's your lowest up point, whether you find yourself going through a betrayal situation or a mountaintop situation or a valley situation, we must recognize that God will listen to us wherever we find ourselves at. What we have to do is begin to engage in dialogue, because God's all-knowing eye, he's omniscient, his all-knowing presence, omnipresence, his omnipotency, his ability to know all things and see all things, hear all things. There is nothing secret that God does not know. What is done in secret, it will be brought forth to light. And so we must recognize that the word of God is true. And I don't care where you find yourself at right now or what lot has befallen you on today. I want you, yes, you, to recognize, child of God, that God knows. He knows when it was done. He knows how it was done. He knew who it came through and why it came through. And you just be faithful to God and watch God fight your battle. Watch God, the Lord of hosts. He's strong and mighty. He's mighty in battle. And so lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting door. David learned how to cry out to God. And so we as children of God, we must cry out to God. We must communicate. He has opened up an avenue for the children of God to come and commune with God and come and talk and sup with God and watch God do it in and through the lives of his people as never before. Now here, let's look at beseeching God. When we beseech God, David was desperate. He did not introduce this prayer with a joyous entrance into the gates with thanksgiving and into his court with praise and be thankful unto him and bless his name, like it is stated in Psalms 104. There was no praise and no worship. He quickly moved to the point in his desperate call for help. He came directly to God asking to be heard. God, hear me. God, justify me. God delivered me. And so here David is beseeching God. He's coming with urgency. He's coming with as a desperate plea unto God. And so sometimes when you find yourself in that place, you may not go into worship. You may not find yourself even the words of worship coming, but you're going into a desperate cry unto God. And it's just like a mother. When a mother hear her child screaming or crying, guess what? Out of all the multitude of children that may be in the vicinity, guess what? That mother knows the cry of her baby. And that mother will get up wherever she is. She may be in the kitchen cooking, and she hear that cry of that child coming towards that house. That mother will drop everything and run after that child and begin to minister unto that child and minister unto that need. Such as it is with our God, when we cry out unto him, he will hear us when we cry. He will drop things and say, let me go to my child, because that is my child that is crying out unto me. And he will move forward and go unto that need of that individual. He said, a broken and a contrite spirit, he will not despise, but he will come to that individual. And so if you find yourself in a desperate place, cry out to God. And open up your heart and call on the name of the Lord, because the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous can run into the name and be safe. Oh, I feel the power of God. Yes, that name is power in the name. Dunamis power, wonder-working power is in that name. And so, child of God, I encourage you as never before, call on him. Jeremiah, let us know for us to call on him, and he will hear and answer and show us great and mighty things that we know not of as we call on that name. So beseeching him. He didn't have time to worship. He didn't have time to say, I'm going to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. I'm going to enter in his court with praise and be thankful unto him and bless his name. No, he said, I need to move quickly to God, because I need God to move on my behalf. I need him to hear me. I need him to justify me. I need him to deliver me. And so sometime in prayer and sometime in a need in the individual life, they just need God just to move. And I feel it in my spirit. Somebody just need God just to move. And so sometimes all you need to do is just call on that name and watch God move on your behalf because you beseeched him in the circumstances and the situation that you're finding yourself. He said, hear our prayer. O Lord, was a plea that David intended God to hear. Perhaps David felt that God had closed his ear. However, even in his despair, he acknowledged that God is faithful and righteous. God both make and keep covenant and faithfully fulfilling his commandments to his people. Because of this attribute, we who feel powerless can still call on the Lord with full assurance that he will provide for what we need. David said, oh Lord, Shandarabosha, our Lord. And I just feel how excellent is thy name. Now let's look further. He said, to answer our prayer. This is why David was calling. He had purpose. He had intention. He wanted God to do something. He wanted God to answer his prayer. And so it's key when you're going to God in prayer, you're going with purpose, not just to pray a prayer, but you're going with an intention and with an expectation and expecting God to answer our prayers. And so God has proven his faithfulness in his past and that we can be confident that his righteousness will never change. He has proven that he will answer when we cry out to him. Micah chapter 7, verse 18 through verse number 20. Now the Bible declares that when the Israelites were slaves in Egypt crying out to God for help, God was merciful and delivered them out of their bondages. You can see that in Exodus chapter 2, verses 24 through verse 25, and it reads on this line, and the Lord heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob, and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. That was Exodus chapter 2, verse number 24 and 25. Now, let's look here. It said, to be merciful in judgment. David's plea for God was not to sit in judgment over him. He reminded God that he was his servant. In this particular psalm, David begged for mercy instead of justice. He realized that he could not stand before God and expect vindication on his own merit. He knew that he had sinned and deserved God's punishment. Now, mankind's only hope is for God to cover them with his mercy, for no one is righteous in their own sight. And so David recognized that, and David cried out, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Psalms 51 and 1. In the book of Exodus, the Apostle Paul, he proclaimed the vast wealth of God's mercy and grace. See Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 6, and it reads, and you have he quickened who was dead in trespasses and sin, wherein time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all have our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein with he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. But grace, by grace ye are saved, and have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You find that over in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 1 through 6. Now look, David cried out for the mercies of God. And so sometimes we need to just cry out to God's mercy. God, you are merciful, God, your sovereign mercy. God, do it for thy glory. Do it for thine honor and your namesake. It's something about his mercy when he have cried out. And the child of God is crying out for the mercies of God. He's plenteous in redemption and plenteous in compassion and mercy. Matter of fact, his mercy are new every day, every morning, as the scripture has said. Now let's look further. God knew that mankind could never measure up to his divine standard. So he became flesh and dwelt among us. And we'll see that over in John chapter 1, verse 14. The weaknesses of frail human flesh tested him in all points, just like as we are tested. Yet he was without sin. And you can see that over in Hebrews chapter number 4, verse 15. Now, he lived and he died so that we could stand justified before him, not by our own holiness, but by his. Now, when you look in his epistle, John penned the word, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 9. Now, we could never pay the ransom that would set us free from the captivity of sin, so Jesus paid it for us. We could not even plead our case because God's judgment seat. So he stepped down and became our advocate and plead our case for us. John further declared, my little children, these things have I written, things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is a propitiation for us, for our sin, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2. He is both our defense attorney who plead our case and also the one who paid our penalty, all of our penalties. He paid for it through the shedding of his own precious blood. Now let's look a little further as we're looking at communicating with God. Now, reminding God. Let's look at what David did. The psalmist described his condition as though God did not even see him. He may well have felt that God had departed and did not even notice his dilemma. Perhaps he even believed that God did not understand how he felt. Feeling crushed to the ground and groveled in darkness, the psalmist cried out and described the imprisonment he was experiencing because of his situation, depression and oppression in mankind more today than ever before. It imprisoned mankind, depression and oppression. And it said fear and bad habits have held people captive with no hope of release, but God is faithful to release the one who cries out to him in faith. And so you see the connection here, why it's important for us when we find things that is trying to imprison or hold us captive, whether it would be oppression or depression, whether it would be a circumstances, a situation, or even a habit, or even fear that is there in a child of God's life. When you cry out to God in faith, God will deliver. God will hear your cry. God will set you free. God will release you and things from that circumstances and situation, from that habit. from that oppression, from that depression, from perplexity, and think he will deliver. When we cry out unto God, he will do it. Now let's look further. The enemy is persistent. David felt hounded by his enemy. He considered his enemy as possessing the power to dash his life to the ground, even unto the grave. In his cry of distress, he even expressed no hope of the resurrection. As David fled, a member of Saul's family followed and began cursing him. As if that was not enough, he began to throw stones at King David. So here you have one of King Saul's family members running after David when David is fleeing the scene. Now, can you just imagine that? Here he's trying to get out of the country, trying to get out of that situation and trying to move away from that situation that has caused depression and caused great bitterness and pain in his heart and things over what they was doing unto him. And then now all of a sudden a family member of King Saul is now running after David and throwing stones at David. Now can you imagine the situation that was going on? And so here it said, over in 2 Samuel 16, verses 7 through 8 said, and thus said Samuel, when he cursed, come out, thy bloody man, thou man of Belial. The Lord have returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord have delivered the kingdom into the hands of Absalom, thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Now this is what was being said to David. And then this was a king, a man after God's own heart. And because of the wickedness that was in the heart of his son, Absalom, who turned on him, and things turned on his very own father. And that's what we see sometimes. Children of God, sometimes people will turn on you, the same one that you fed, the same one that you encouraged, the same one that you nurtured, that same one that you prayed for, that same one that you fast for, that same one that you took in and provided them with housing, provided them with light bill money, gas bill money, and put food, and God used you to put food on their table. The same one will turn on you. And things, but God is saying, pray for them. Pray and continue to pray. And this is what was going on in the life of David. He was crying out and seeing his own son and people raising up against him, and he was the king. So it is when David, when David's mighty men heard this and thus realized what was happening, they asked David why he would allow this dead dog to curse him, and they asked permission to decapitate him, and David told them to leave him alone. Apparently, he felt that this innocent part of God's punishment for his sin. It is possible that David was in physical danger, yet the spiritual battle was more obvious and fearful. Fear and despair are emotions that are spiritual in nature, and David was in a battle with the enemy for his soul. 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's seeking who he may devour. Where is the major attack or spiritual attack? One, mental, that's depression, despair, despondency, and gloom. Two, satanic oppression, domination, torment, and coercing. Satanic possession is mastery, occupying, and owning. These are some of the attacks and spiritual attacks against the children and the child of God. When we have an enemy that is the writer of Revelation described as the accuser of the brethren, Revelation 12 and 10. Now, we see this. We see that even now. We see that even what the adversary is doing even now to men and women of God. We see those things that are taking place of the accuser of the brethren, Revelation 12 and 10. We can see those things that are taking place even right now. Now, the book of Job described him as standing before God accusing us, but he was assaulted, our minds, with doubt and insecurity. That's what the adversary will want to do. He usually hurled them at us with what we try when we are tired and when we're weak or discouraged. And that's when the adversary come in and try to attack. When an individual is tired, when an individual is weak, when an individual is discouraged. His strategy is to bring condemnation into our lives and thereby causing further discouragement and despair. And so hear me, child of God, as you see, even with your own eyes, as you hear, even with your own ears, the strategy of the adversary to cause condemnation and to cause further discouragement and further despair. And so you, as a child of God, begin to exhort, to build back up, to use that which God has given to you to edify and to build up the body of Christ as never before. It is interesting that after Adam and Eve disobeyed and sinned in the garden, they immediately tried to hide their nakedness behind fig leaves. God asked them to hold them and told them that they were naked, and you'll see that over in Genesis 3 and 11. The only other party in the story of the fall was that the very one who had tempted Eve and had influenced her to disobey, after being the primary influence in her failing, the devil then became her accuser. And so, see, that same thing that causes the individual to fall will turn back and be the accuser of that individual. Satan is still the accuser today, bringing condemnation into the lives by continuously reminding us of our past sins and weaknesses. If man can keep us feeling inadequate, he can stop us from fulfilling our ministry and calling in life. Thank God for Paul's promising words to the Romans. There is, therefore, now, no, I said no, condemnation to them that which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, Romans 8 and 1. And again, it says Romans 8 and 1. I want to repeat that again. There is therefore now no condemnation to them. Who are them? Which one are them? They which are in Christ Jesus. And then not only are they in Christ Jesus, but here's the other qualifying piece. It says that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Can you be in Christ Jesus and not walk after the Spirit? Yes, you could be in Christ Jesus and walk after the fleshly thing as opposed to walking after the spiritual thing. He said there is no condemnation to that one that is in Christ Jesus that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so even after you're baptized into Christ, yes, in and through the name of Jesus Christ, and after that, walking not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Well, you're saying, Pastor, how in the world can a person walk after the Spirit? Let's begin to developing a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and saying, God, where are you at? I'm walking behind you. I'm following after you today, following after the Spirit, consciously in your mind and spirit and heart, saying, God, I follow after you on today. Now, it said God never brings condemnation, but he gives conviction, which is his way of gnawing us back to the right pathway of life. God is indeed good, and he builds us up instead of tearing us down. And so we must recognize, where is this coming from? What is happening? Where is this coming from? Well, it's the accuser of the brethren, according to Revelation chapter number 12 and verse number 10. We are not ignorant of Satan's devices, and we as children of God, we must recognize that we are not ignorant of the devices of the adversary of our very own souls. Now, let's look here. The pursued becomes overwhelmed. The writer of Psalm 143, Saint Lord in despair, expressing his feelings about his life situation, which was completely crushing and overwhelming him. Can you now let's take a look at what was going on with David. He had his son that's rising up against him. He'd just been coming out of battle and things of his own life with King Saul trying to kill him. And now his son raising up against him. And so David was finding himself, and even half of his armies was risen up against him, and his own kingdom was rising up against him. And he had some men that were still there on his side. But look at here what was going on in David's life and things, all these things. His own very child was raising up against him, and raising and causing and instigating and causing his own kingdom to stand against him and things. And he is the king. And so here we have these dynamics that have taken place and going on. But David cried out to God. And I come to tell somebody, all you need to do is just keep crying out to God. Watch God come. He that will come shall come, and he will not tarry. He will not tarry. He will not tarry. His heart seemed desolate as he described the situation as dark and gloomy rather than happy and enjoyable. See Lamentation 3, verses 1 through 20. He was truly in spiritual despair with his spirit overwhelmed within him. Now, we often refer to the heart as the center of the human spirit, of the emotion. Proverbs admonishes to keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4 and 23. The New International Version referred to the heart as a wellspring of life. Now, David was about as low spiritually as a person could become. Yet at another time in his life, he declared, "From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to a rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy." Psalm 61, verses 2 and verse number 3. Let us look further. His work of his past. It was common for a person to reminisce about better times when he becomes depressed or under stress. The psalmist said that he meditated, he reminded, remembered, and moved as he longed for the blessings of the past. This could be good or it could be bad. The past can serve to be as an encouragement to a person, or it can drive a person into deeper despair. The psalmist wrote, "I remember God and I was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed." Psalm 77 and 3. Now, Apostle Paul advised us that there are things best forgotten and left uncovered by the blood of Jesus Christ. He reminded the Philippians of this principle by which he lived. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before me. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Now, the past can also give us hope and lift our spirits. In Psalm 143, David describes the past as giving him a glimmer of hope for the future. Perhaps he thought that if God had delivered him in the past, he could surely do it again. Psalm 77, 10 through 11. "And I said, this is my infirmity, that I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. Let us look further. It says here, entreating God. Now, at this point in his writing, David begins the journey out of his valley of despair. His faith began to stir as his soul reached out to God rather than focusing on his problem. And here you can find when you begin to reach out to God, you no longer, the individual no longer is focusing on their situation, but they're reaching out unto God. That's where we find, even over in Psalms 24, it says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. And so he admonishing us to lift up our heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up. And so when we lift our head up, we're being lifted up out of that circumstances and things. We're looking unto God now and things, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, lifting up holy hands or lifting our hands, Psalms 28 and 2 state, hear the voice of my supplication when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands towards thy holy oracles. Meditation on the past goodness of God caused David to stretch forth his hand in faith towards God. Although he may not have had the strength to lift them, he stretched them towards God. Now, mankind generally considered the lifting of the hands upwards as an expression of surrender. As we lift our hands towards God, we are demonstrating our submission to his wisdom regarding our past as well as our future. How wonderful it is to trust him with our eternal destiny and to exhibit such a peace of heart by lifting our hands towards him. Now, declaring our thirst. In Psalm 63 and 1, the psalmist expressed his longing for God. Stated, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. The first step in touching God is reaching out for God and declaring our thirst for him. Now, David describes his thirst for God as being natural, just as an animal run for water. And you find that Psalms 42 and 1, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God, Psalms 42 and 1. Now, further, realizing our desperate need, Psalms 28 and 1, it said, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that goes down into the pit. Psalms 28 and 1. Once again, we find David looked back into his condition of guilt and despair. He began to focus on the pit rather than on the resurrection. He needed God's help, and he needed it speedily. He expressed his utter despair in the words, my spirit faileth. Psalms 143 and 7. Now, although we may try to number our despairs and the inner man, only the Spirit of God can truly heal our wounded spirit. Finally, looking past his problem and reaching out to God to fill his soul, to quell for his fear, David specifically asked for six things. Now, I want you to write these things down. What David wrote and desired. Number one, David asked for loving kindness. David wanted God to show his love towards him through his kindness. David began hoping for the morning when the darkness would flee and the cloud would part so that he could once again see the face of God. So he asked for God's loving kindness. Number two, in whom he could trust. In the morning, David wanted to find the one in whom he had placed his trust many times in the past. Moreover, he prayed for illumination so that he could once again find the correct path to keep his feet from stumbling. Number three, he wanted the one who cares for his soul. David now had enough strength to lift up his soul with the assurance that God would preserve it rather than destroy it. When mankind approaches God for help, one need never fear. He can place his trust in God, who will never turn him down or disappoint him. Number four, he wanted deliverance from our enemies. Sometimes we will need a hiding place in the cleft of the rock where God will cover us with his hand. The psalmist clearly described this need for security from the storms of life. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Psalms 27 and 5. Number five, a teachable spirit. Every believer should join the psalmist by praying, Lord, teach me to do your will. Psalms 143 and 10. Humility is vitally important. We should readily seek God's direction for our life. Show me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy path. Psalms 25 and 4. And number six, he asked for a spiritual life. David prayed, continue. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. You'll see that in Psalms 143 and 10. And that was spoken out of the International Version. And let us go back and look at verse 10. It says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Lead me to do and walk uprightly before you. He was saying, Lord, lead me on the ground that is smooth so that I will not stumble. Lord, set me on my feet and establish my path. And so here we have those six things. Number one, he asked for loving kindness. Number two, he asked for the one in whom he could trust. Number three, the one who cares for our souls. Number four, deliverance from our enemies. Number five, he wanted a teachable spirit. And number six, a spiritual life, asking God to lead him to the smooth and the straight place where he would not stumble, but that the Lord would set him on his feet and establish his path. Now, the petition, Lord, quickeneth me, is one of the rehabilitation or reinvigoration that David asked the Lord to resuscitate and revitalize him with fresh spiritual experience. In his prayer, he appealed to the righteousness of God. In other words, he said, God, you are right, so make me right. And David expressed his longing to feel peace once again, which he has confidence that God was willing and able to give him. And so, child of God, as we communicate with God and as we come to God and as we look and examine the life of King David and what David was going through in the time when his son Absalom was raising up against him and how he was accusing and how one of even Saul's family members was raising up and accusing David and going after David and things as well. David cried out to God. And I come to tell you, it was a couple of Fridays ago, we was there in our church and we was having a praise and worship time and prayer time with the Lord. And this is what God told me. He said, Helen, tell the people to get back to the temple and get back to the house of prayer and begin to cry out to God as never before and watch him hear his people cry and answer them. Don't you know prayer is a gift that God has given to the body of Christ, where we can commune with God and talk to God, cry unto God. As we examine the scripture on today, David did not have an opportunity at this particular scenario and time in his life to enter in his gate with thanksgiving and into his court with a praise. But David came because David was desperate. David had to get to God. And sometimes we find ourselves in a desperate situation and we got to get to God and cry out because the vicissitudes of the life that's coming in on every side that's fighting up against the children of God. And he went to David, but David went in a posture of humility and he cried out and said, God, hear my cry. God, I beseech you, God. God, I long for you. I need you to fight on my behalf. I need you to come. I need you to work on my behalf. And such as it is, sometimes we need to just cry out to God and just come, go back and say, oh, Lord, our Lord, I need you, God. And just cry out unto God. And I love how God has fixed it so that there are even times in our life that we're not able to even to utter a word or even able to speak a word or in situation where we cannot even speak. But God fixed this thing. Oh, tell somebody it's a fixed situation. It's a fixed circumstance and a fixed principle that is set off into the heavenly realm and in the spiritual realm. He said, I can be touched by the feelings of your infirmity. Oh, come on and shout hallelujah. God fixed this thing that just the infirmity of the situation can go up to God. He said, I can be touched by your feelings. That you can live a life so close to me that when your feelings start going up to me, it's touching me. And things before you even open your mouth, God said, I can be touched by the feelings of the infirmities of my people. And so, child of God, we find things and situations that's coming up against the children of God on every hand. As never have I seen before that how the tribulation and being tried on every hand. But we as the children of God, I call and to you to remember it. All we need to do is call on him. And he said, will I not answer and show you great and mighty things that you know not of? God wants to answer. God wants to meet his people. God wants to dwell among his people, but he wants us to talk to him and communicate with him. And even when we find ourselves in situation, cry out unto him. Lift up our heads, O ye gates. Look on Psalms 121 said, I will lift my eyes unto the hill from which cometh my help. My help come from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. O Rabba Shandaria. And we can look to him. We can cry out to him, and he will hear, and he will answer, and he will show us great and mighty things. Get back into prayer. Go back to the prayer room. Go back to the times where you used to have your prayer with God and talk with him and commune with him. He said, just if two or three would gather together in my name, I will be there in the midst. He also said for us as children of God, for us as we call on his name, he will hear and answer our prayer. He said, cry loud and spare not. God said for us to call upon him. He want us to cry out unto him. He want us to call unto him and things as never before. He said for us to not even to forsake ourselves assembling together, even more so, even as you see the day approaching. So children of God, get back to the prayer room. Get back to the place of crying out to God. Get back into communing with God and talking to God, sharing with God what's on your heart. The Bible said the true worshiper is going to worship him in spirit and truth, telling God what is on your heart and mind and allowing him to come in and suck with you and commune with him and talk with him as never before. And so here we are as we look at David in conclusion here. David came back to to the subject of his enemies and asked God once again to put an end to them. He felt that the enemies of his soul were not only his, but they were also the enemies of God. And he reminded God that he was his servant and that any attack on him was an attack on his God. David did not seem vindictive. Rather, he would desire deliverance and release for his soul. He knew that God was the only one who could help him, and he cried out to the Lord with that confidence, and he declared that the hopelessness of his situation and reminded God of the miraculous deliverance of the past and worshiped him for the future victory. Now, the last five Psalms of David revealed that he did not stay in the valley of despair, for they are songs of praise and victory. And indeed, God was faithful and fought his battle for him. He vindicated him, and he brought him back to the throne. And I come to say, God's going to bring him back to the throne, just like David was brought back to his throne. And such as it is, God will bring you back to your place of your victory. And in your life, watch God will do it. As you cry out to God, God will fight on the behalf of his people. Oh, Shandarolaboshi Katarabo, the Lord of hosts, the great I am, the lily in the valley, the King of kings, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. All we have to do is cry out unto him. David said in Psalms 28 and 2, hear the voice of my supplication when I cry unto thee, when I lift my hand towards thy holy oracles. And so David was lifting his hand towards the holy word of God, or what God said he would do. And I come to tell you, child of God, and admonish you and encourage you, lift those holy hands back unto the holy oracle of God's word as you worship him as being a faithful God, and watch God do it on behalf of his people. David said, in the word of the Lord, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ears to my supplication in thy faithfulness and in righteousness, and enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul, and he has smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as though that have been long dead. And he said, therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me, and my heart within me is desolate. I remember thy works and thy days of old, and I meditate on all thy works, and I muse on the work of thine hands. I stretch forth my hand unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land, Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause thy loving kindness in the morning, for I, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for I, in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the ways wherein I shall walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy wrath's sake. Bring my soul out of trouble, and of thy mercy cut off my enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul. For I am thy servant. Hear our prayer, O God, and give ears unto our supplication. In thy faithfulness. Answer me, and in thy righteousness. Look at David. David knew how to get to the heart of God. He went to God through his faithfulness and through God's righteousness. And that's how he approaches the throne of God. And I say unto you, child of God, even today, remember to ask God, God, in your faithfulness, answer me. And in thy righteousness, God, I ask that you will answer me. Not because it's me, God. Not because it's anything that I've done, but because of your faithfulness, God, and because of your righteousness. And that's key. If you could take that with you on today and contextualize it to the relevancy of your life for today, of the theological implication of invoking God's righteousness and his faithfulness when you pray. God, answer me in thy faithfulness. And in thy righteousness. So David wasn't wanting any kind of answer. Oh, he wasn't coming vainly unto God. But he said, in your righteousness and your faithfulness. He put a demand back on God. And so, child of God, let us put a demand back on God in his faithfulness and his righteousness as we cry out unto him and watch great and mighty work in and through the life of his people. Let us go to the throne room. Gracious Father, we come right now in the name of Jesus and by the power that's in the Holy Ghost. God, let that power exude to your people, God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, you see the needs right now, Lord, throughout the land, even in throughout, Lord, every region of this world, God. We send you, God, and we release you to go, God, and show yourself mighty and show yourself strong and great. God, you see the needs, oh God, even of your servant, even of the man of God, Father, we ask, oh God, that you will stretch forth your hand and move by your power divine. Oh, Lord, our Lord, have mercy, God, in the name of Jesus. We ask of you, Lord, to answer us, God, in your faithfulness. Answer us, God, in your righteousness, God. Do we come and put a demand upon you, God, asking, oh God, that you will have mercy, God, even on today. You see the need, God. Go today, God, and stretch forth your hand and move by your power divine. And Father, we'll praise your name and give you glory and give you honor and give you praise. We recognize that you alone are able and you can do all things but fail. Lord, we cry out unto you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for the ability to communicate, God. But lift up the downtrodden, Lord. Give sight back to the blind, God. Unstop the deaf ears, God. Restore that one. Revitalize and resuscitate, God, the heart of that individual, God, that is overwhelmed even right now. Lord, in thy name we cry out unto you, Lord, because he that will come shall come. And you will not carry, God, your sovereign mercy and your sovereign strength, God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name, Father. We'll give you the glory, Father. We'll give you the honor, Father. We'll give you the praise that's due unto your name, Lord. Meet that need, God. Father, give forth the Lord release of the finance for that brother, for that father. To provide for their children, to provide for their loved ones, God, that one that don't have food today, God, that one that's sleeping up under that bridge today, God, that one, oh God, that is overwhelmed in grief, God, that one who's lay in the hospital, whose body is wrecked with pain, God, oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name touched today, God, Father, that one that's leaving to go be with loved ones that are in, Father, oh God, circumstances and situations, stretch forth your hand, oh God, on today. And Father, we'll praise you We'll give you glory. We'll give you honor that's due unto your name. And Father, we'll praise you because of your righteousness. We'll praise you because of your faithfulness. God, we'll praise you because you're God alone. Let your name, Lord, be exalted among your people, God. Arise, O Lord, and let the enemies be scattered. We release the angels. We release the ruined angels. We release the guardian angels. And we release, God, Lord, the ministering angels in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We give you praise, God. We give you glory and honor, God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Put that family back together. Keep that mother and that daughter, that son, Lord, in thy name, O God. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Shanda da bo shete. Koto to bo shata ba 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 ba. He ka ba ba shete to ro bo shende di anda. Have your way, O God. Shende di anda ko ro bo shada. He ka bo shete to ro ba shende da ba. O Lord, our Lord, shende di anda di anda. Build up your people, God. Let them pray in their heavenly spirit, Lord, that they may build up their most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Release your spirit in this earth, God. Release your anointing and presence, God, and your worship, God. And we thank you, God. Lord Jesus, stir up prayer. Stir up communication. Stir up the intimacy and relationship with you, God. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Truly, we do thank and praise the Lord for his goodness and his mercy and his grace. We thank God for you on today and being with us on today. And we pray that if you don't have it, God got it. And you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you, according to Matthew 7:7. And so, child of God, if you've thrown in the towel because of despair and being overwhelmed, I speak to your spirit on today. Go back and get that towel. And go back and try again, calling on the name of the Lord. And watch God hear and answer your prayer. I agree with you. I touch and agree that God to respond and to help his people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I pray that you've been blessed today and that your life has been overwhelmed by the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and that you'll be forever strengthened and revived and resuscitated and revitalized in through and by the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May your life be blessed. May your children be blessed. May your children's children be blessed. May the fruit of your cattle, your resources and your home, peace will be in there and joy, happiness, and love exude out of your life. May the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich and add no sorrow. God bless you is my prayer, and bye-bye.